Matthew chapter 24, we'll read responsively on verses 35 through 39. So Matthew chapter 24, we'll all read together on verse number 35 and then every other verse down through 39 here this morning. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
I bring you a message today taken from the passage of Scripture that says, as it was in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah. I don't think it's hard for anybody to see and recognize that American culture is rapidly declining. The way people talk to one another has become coarse and crude. I mentioned in a message a little while back about the anger that seems to be present now more than it ever has been. Get on the road, road rage. I mentioned about there are times, on a regular basis now, I listen to the police radio, and it seems like most of the traffic calls are not for reckless driving or speeding, but it's for road rage. And they will say, road rage. And they will chase down a truck or a car or someone going 120 miles an hour, weaving in and out of traffic on the interstate or even through the city and running people off the road. Road rage, it seems, but we've seen it becoming more and more prevalent in our society. As one man said, and I quote, "Our actions have become dangerously primitive, caustic, cruel, and even subhuman," end quote. That's a very accurate statement. The moral decline in America has not happened by accident. I personally believe it has happened on purpose and with a purpose in mind. You see, I love America with all of my heart, and I really do. Oh, she's got lots of things that are wrong with her, but I love this country. I've only been in two other countries besides America. Three, if you count California. But I've been in Canada. I've been in South America. I've been down in Argentina. And both of those countries above us and one below us are socialistic countries. And I'm just simply here to tell you, I love America, and I'm glad I'm here. Years ago, and I believe it was in 2004, when Brother Penn and I first went to Argentina to minister with our missionaries there. And I remember I got off of the plane, and we got our luggage, and I walked out the doors of the airport. I got on my hands and knees, Brother Penn, you probably remember this, and I kissed the ground. And I thought, Lord, thank you that I live in America. I love this country. As wrong as she is in a number of ways, I don't love everything that she's done, but I love America with all of my heart. But yet it is being trashed by those who are only concerned about themselves and their rights. And they have played a huge role in the ruination of our nation. American pop culture has nothing to offer but drugs and suicide and loneliness. And Jesus, by the way, is still the answer. It doesn't matter what the question is. Jesus is still the answer. The events of this last week, thank the Lord, we've heard the name of Christ lifted up more than we've heard in a long, long time because of the tragedy that happened there in Utah, because of the taking of an innocent human life. We've heard the name of Jesus lifted up. We've heard testimonies of those who received Christ as their Savior. But on the same hand, we've heard others who have cursed and swore and been glad for the murder that was committed. America has become a cruel nation in many ways. But I want to say this. Our passage says, in the day that Jesus comes back, it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah. In the day, what was going on in Noah's day that was so bad? Well, from then until now, we're seeing more than we have ever seen in the history of our country as it was in the days of Noah. It was a day of worldliness. I want you to take your Bible with me there. And you're already in Matthew chapter 24. And I want you to see verse 37 with me. It says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." A commentator by the name of Matthew Henry, and many within the sound of my voice today, have read the words of Matthew Henry. But he said this concerning this verse. He said, "It is not said that they were killing and stealing and whoring and swearing. These were indeed the horrid crimes of some of the worst of them. The earth was filled with violence. But they were all of them, except Noah and his family, over head and ears in the world, and they did not listen to the word of God, and it ruined them," end quote. That's absolutely the truth. When you leave God out, all you have left is human reasoning. All you have left are those, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And the Bible says we're all included in that. You leave God out, that's all you have left. And that's all they had. They left God out. Though universal neglect of Christianity is more dangerous symptom of social decadence than any particular instance here and there of daring irreligion. Matthew Henry was right when he said the words that he said. Those who take polls like this, and I'm not one of them, they say that in 1 year, many Baptists did not attend church one single time last year. Those who claim to be Baptist, those who claim to know the Lord, those who claim to be born again, never one time darken the doors of a church. What a terrible shame that is, especially when the Word of God says that God gave His own blood for the church. 88% of the youth in evangelical churches leave their church never to return by the age of 18. Conservative churches are dropping their Sunday evening services by the thousands. Many have already dropped their midweek prayer, and they no longer have prayer meetings. They might have a Bible study, and I'm all for Bible studies, but you don't replace prayer meeting in a church. You say, "Pastor, that's just a tradition." You call it what you want to. Timberline Baptist Church still has an old-fashioned prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. And we have it at the beginning of the service. And we share prayer requests and needs that people have. And everybody ought to be here and needs to be here that can be here, who are not providentially hindered, ought to be and spend time praying with other believers. But yet there are many churches today, you'll see, they have only one service a week. I don't understand how a church in America can only have one service a week. I don't understand that, especially when there's all kinds of opportunity. Timberline Baptist Church, like many churches, they'll have a Sunday school hour, a Bible study hour. They will have even study groups, and they'll have a morning service or an evening service or even a youth hour or a choir practice in a midweek time when they can meet together. Many of those, there's a church I drive by it on Sundays every week. In fact, every day of the week I drive by that church, one service a week. That's it. So much Bible, so little time. So many needs that people have. It's no wonder Christians have gone worldly. It's like they're more worldly than they've ever been. Evangelistic preaching with strong application is virtually a thing of the past, and many preachers have little Bible expositions instead of strong preaching designed to change people's lives. Many churches today have gone only to a Bible study, and there's nothing wrong with going to a Bible study. Oh, hear me, I'm not trying to put it down. But in the Word of God, there's more than Bible studies. You won't find one expositional sermon anywhere in the Word of God. You'll find a man of God standing up before the people of God and preaching the Word of God to them in the power of God is what you find. And you go back and you start reading these different sermons that were preached, and they included history, and they included the Word of God, and they included everything that needed to be said. In the Old Testament, there were men of God who slapped their legs when they'd stand and preach to the people, and they'd preach repentance to God's own people that they needed to get right with God and get with the program like they're supposed to. But sermons like that are no longer there anymore. It's all a coffee time during the service. I was looking around in our auditorium just this week, and I was looking at the carpet. There are a number of places where folks have brought coffee into the auditorium and spilled their coffee on the carpeting and all that. But there's other places where you can, we prefer that you drink it downstairs so that you don't spill it. But listen carefully. Listen carefully. There are places you can go to the coffee bar, go to sit in the auditorium and drink coffee and eat donuts and anything you want to do all during the Bible study that they're having on a Sunday morning and if they have a Sunday night service. See, is that wrong? I think probably there's a better way to do it. Maybe it's because I'm an old-fashioned preacher. Maybe it's because I still believe in preaching the Word of God and the power of God to the people of God. Maybe it's because there's a whole lot more that's important than a cup of coffee or tea or whatever it might be. All I'm here to tell you that we've gone away from what it was that turned out young people that were on fire for God. The people then believed in Noah's day of some kind of God intellectually, but their mental beliefs had no effect on their daily living. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says very plainly in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26 that the people of that day, and quote unquote, they called on the name of the Lord, end quote. Now, who were they calling on? Literally, they were calling on probably the names of their gods via the name of Jehovah God. And they failed to pay attention to the preaching of Noah. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, the Word of God says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And they didn't listen to the preacher of righteousness. They didn't pay heed to the warnings that he gave. They didn't listen to the things that he said from the Word of God. Maybe they had their own ideas. Maybe they were just tired of it, as many people have grown today. They're tired of being a part of a church. These people are described in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5 as having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And then the Bible gives us an admonition. It says, those who have a form of godliness, but yet they deny the power thereof, the Bible says you turn away from them, and I quote, from such turn away, end quote. These people are described that way. Turn away from the worldliness that is so prevalent today. The Bible commands us to turn away from them in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. And you got to leave their weak, watered-down religion behind and do what God would have you to do. What I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, is as it were, it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We are living in those days now, as it was in the days of Noah. Same symptoms, same habits, same sins, now pronounced more than ever, thanks to the internet and cable, and thanks to satellite, and thanks to the television. And thanks to all the different things that are out there, if it happens in one part of the world, it's instantaneously put on your screen somewhere. Don't have to wait anymore to hear what the battle was like in a particular war. It comes immediately. And we're living in a day when sin is just as prevalent as it ever was, but it's now more accessible and more available than it's ever been. Not only was it a day of worldliness, but it was also a day of wantonness. I think the word wanton in the Bible is a misunderstood word by many. The Bible says in Matthew 24 and verse 38, it says, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark." Say, well, Pastor, wanton is not mentioned in that verse. No, but it is certainly taught. In other words, they were living to the fullness, to fulfill the lusts of their flesh. And the word wanton in the Word of God speaks of a desire to have it all. And that's what they were doing. And they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and all the things that they wanted to do that would fulfill the lusts of their flesh. Things that are not normally wrong. But when that's what you live for, then it becomes wrong. Once again, Matthew Henry said, quote, "They were eating and drinking when they should have been repenting and praying, to weeping and mourning." Should have been that way. But they didn't listen to the man of God. They did not listen to Noah. They did not listen to his preaching. They turned away from him. It was not wrong for them to eat, because everybody has to eat. If you don't eat, you die of hunger. And it wasn't wrong for them to marry. Noah himself was a married man, and so were his sons. But the people in Noah's day were so interested in these physical activities that they simply had no time for God. And I mean that. Today, people have scheduled God out of their lives. In other words, if God and the church and the Word of God doesn't fit their busy schedules, then fooey on God, I'm going to do what I want to do. Like I said, it wasn't wrong to eat. It wasn't wrong for them to wash it down. It wasn't wrong for them to get married. But when that's all you emphasize, then it becomes a sin to you. You see, many today are simply no different. They plan their whole lives around their money, around parties, and around having fun, around activities, and all the rest of it. But they leave the Lord completely out. They had no interest in God at all. And listen, they will die full of their money, and they will die full of their parties, and they will die full of their food, but their souls are going to be empty. Just like in the Old Testament, when the people of God were angry with God because He didn't provide anything but manna for them. Manna, the gift that God gave them from heaven. And they said, "We want some meat to eat." And the Bible says God sent them birds. And they fluttered so high it was up to the horses' bridles. And there was birds everywhere and they could go out. And the Bible says while the meat was still between their teeth, they cursed God. It's an amazing thing. And that's no different than today. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you." He's saying don't live just for the material things, where they would say, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 32, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die." There's more to life than eating and drinking and partying and all the rest of it. And we're seeing God left out and neglected. There's just something even more important than eating and partying. There's eternity to think about. Many believers today no longer live with eternity's values in view. You realize how important eternity is? The Bible talks about us getting our 70. That's 70. Mine's coming next month. Some, like Brother Don, made it to 80. Thank God. The Bible says 70, and some, by God's wonderful grace, make it to 80, of course. But life is short compared to eternity. And we simply no longer live with eternity's values in view. I'm so thankful that when I was privileged to be the youth director at First Baptist Church of Rosemont, Minnesota, for the years that I was there, and behind the pulpit on that giant wall where the baptistry was located, and they had the doors that would swing open to reveal the baptistry. Huge, huge platform. And they had a world map all made out of styrofoam that somebody had made. Very accurate, too, by the way. You've seen the pictures of the whole world that's laid flat. Not the flat earth, but it's all laid flat where everything's laid out. You've got the North Pole and the South Pole, and you've got all the different continents and all the things that are there. But underneath it, it had this phrase, "with eternity's values in view." Something I'll never forget. Living a life with eternity's values in view, not just for what you can get today or tomorrow or any other time. The people in Noah's day were so interested in having fun and making money that they gave no thought whatsoever to eternity. They paid no attention to the preaching of Noah, and death and judgment came to them suddenly, and they were simply not prepared for eternity. That's why when the flood came and they wanted to get into the boat, ladies and gentlemen, it was just too late. "Noah, let us in. We believe you now." But they wouldn't believe the preaching that he did before that. How about you? Take warning from those who drowned in the flood. You got to be in the ark. If you're not saved, you need to get born again. If you are saved, you need to be right with the Lord. But not only was it a day of worldliness, and a day of wantonness, but it was also a day of waywardness. Matthew 24 and verse 39. Wayward, yeah, very good word. It says in verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You know why they didn't know? I think that the Lord will, when they stand before the Lord, there's interesting questions that could be asked. But you know the reason they knew not? It's because they paid no mind to the guy that preached the truth to them. They just didn't listen. Ah, crazy old man. Who does he think he is telling me how to live? They heard Noah. Yes, they did. They heard his voice because he preached it loud and clear. But they weren't listening. They weren't listening. It's like many today who go to church. They hear the preacher. They hear the teacher. They hear the word of God read, but they're not listening to it. They hear it, but it doesn't sink in. What a terrible mistake, because they paid no attention to the preaching of Noah, and they were not prepared for the things that were sure to come, even though they were warned, and they were warned. And that's the way so many people are today. They just tell you, don't be so involved in church, you don't need it. After all, aren't we all priests and kings before the Lord? Isn't that what we are? It's a real spiritual statement, but it doesn't negate the need that we have for the local church and the preaching of the Word of God. They'll tell you, don't become a fanatic. I don't mind being a fanatic, and I've been accused of that before. In fact, it was said to me a number of years ago, he's now in heaven, but I was said, you go to church too much. You go to church too much. How often did I go? I went to Sunday school, I went to the morning service, I went to the evening service, and I went to the midweek Bible study. And as a teenager, I went to youth activities when they had them. Too much? I'm sorry. Doesn't make any sense. You see, must have been what the people said before the flood. Don't listen to that old fool Noah. You got to hear what he has to say. All he preaches is opinion. No, he preached the word of God. And don't become fanatical about religion like Noah. You believe in God, that's all you need. You believe in God. The Bible tells us that the devil believes also, but he trembles. You see, he knows the truth. He's been there since the beginning. But it was too late for the people. The flood came, and the Bible says in verse 39 of Matthew 24, these little words, but how powerful they are, and took them all away. The flood came. And the floods came up, the rains came down, and took them all away. And it was too late. It was too late. Years ago, we were at camp, and one of our teenagers, Katie, had written a song simply entitled, It's Too Late. And I don't know, for some reason lately, I've been singing her songs like that. I've been singing that one in my heart. And every now and then, I'll sing it out loud, It's Too Late. An amazing thought. And for them, it was too late. No matter how often they would call, and no matter how hard they, how loudly they yelled, and no matter how hard they pounded on the door of that ark, though the door was shut, and they couldn't get in. It was too late. Every sign today points to Jesus' soon return. We're hearing more about that these days from men of God who stand in pulpits. You say, oh, but they've been saying that for years. Don't fall into that trap. It's like that Christian article that I have shared with you so many times when I read it in a Christian magazine. The reason preachers no longer preach about the rapture of the local church or of the church is because it hadn't happened yet. I laughed out loud when I read that. I showed it to my pastor. He laughed out loud. And I'm thinking, if the rapture happens, they don't even need that article. But they still need the preaching. Because the Word of God says when you've got the hope of that Lord, of the Lord coming back in you, you keep yourself pure even as He Himself is pure. Amazing words from the Word of God. Most of the people don't believe it, but Jesus said that the people in Noah's day, in Matthew 24, 39, knew not. Knew not? What do you mean they knew not? Noah had been preaching for them for years. How are you building that big boat, Noah? And he preached the truth to them. But the Bible says they knew not until the flood came. In other words, they became believers. It's like I've said many times, you know, there are no unbelievers in hell. Not a single one. They became believers the moment that they went to hell. That's right. Because you can't deny what's happening to you. But it says, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And we're living in that kind of a day today. The news that we've had for the last week, week and a half or more, has proven to us more than ever that Christianity is under attack more than it's ever been. In the United States of America, of all things. But you look at that and you look around and you read what the Word of God says. It says, in the last days, perilous times shall come upon us, and they are upon us right now. And there has never been a more important time in the history of Christianity for God's people to stand for right and to do what they're supposed to do rather than getting lazy and lax and all the rest of it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not all about us. It's all about the Lord Jesus. And it needs to remain that way. But yet today's Christianity has made it all about us, you see. I believe Jesus is coming soon, and it seems like as if America is described in Jesus' own words when he simply said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. How do I know that? I gave you 3 points today. But I'm going to change the days of Noah simply to the word America. America is worldly. She no longer needs God. She's got everything the world has to offer. Do you realize that phone that some of you right now are holding in your hand and you're watching this online? Do you realize that is more powerful than anything from a number of years ago? The whole world is at your fingertips. All of it. Brother Penn, I remember that first little Mac that we had. Remember that? It looked like a fish tank. The Mac SE20. It had a 20 megabyte hard drive. I've got pictures on my computer right now that are larger than the whole computer. Are you listening to me? And I remember that we were going to get it hooked up to the internet. And I took it in to the place where they were going to hook us up to the internet. And it was called Databon, of all things. And he hooked our computer up and got the modem going. And he says, where do you want to go? Where do I want to go? I said, let's go to Japan. And he typed in a few words, and the country of Japan popped up on the screen. All written in Japanese. But I was in Japan on that screen. And Brother Penn, you know what the blazing fast speed of our modem was at that time? 14.4 baud. And I thought we were smoking. I couldn't believe how fast that was that we connected anywhere in the world. Because of that, and I'm not saying it's wrong, okay? Understand me, I'm not saying it's wrong. People say that computers are of the devil. They can be. But so can this pen when it's used in the wrong hands. But because of that little thing, America has the whole world at its fingertips. That's right. When you think about all the men and women who right now, somewhere in America, are having extramarital affairs with some whoremonger on the internet, it's all at their fingertips. It's all there. The planning of all kinds of things. What's the first thing they did for this fellow that shot and killed Charlie Kirk? They get into his social media. It was all right there. Number one, America is worldly. She no longer needs God. Number two, America is wayward. She no longer seeks God. There are churches all around the area. Even though in many places in America, because of the events of this last week, there are many people who are going back to church, and I think that's a good thing. But there's a lot of other folks that wouldn't give you a nickel for all of it. America is wanton. She no longer seeks God. And thirdly, or wayward, I should say. And thirdly, America is wanton. She no longer desires God because everything else is. Is it 2 Peter 2:2? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. We've all had a study on the newborn babe, haven't we? That's not talking about a baby in a cradle. It's talking about a baby that just for the first time saw the light of day, or I should say the light of the delivery room. still possibly connected to the umbilical cord, as that a child who's empty of everything is desirous of his mother's milk. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. And I have taught this church family through the years. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're so full of other things, we're no longer hungry for the things of God. Every mama knows that truth without even thinking about it. Son, don't eat that. That'll ruin your appetite. No, it won't. Yes, it will. You can't have that before supper. You're going to ruin your appetite. No, I'll still be hungry. No, they won't be, because mama knows best. God knows best. And today we're so full of other things, we no longer have room for the Lord. I truly believe that Jesus is coming soon, and sooner than one might think. Let's not be part of how it was in the days of Noah, but let us live unto the Lord, seeking His righteousness first and foremost in our lives. Yeah, I believe we're living in the day as it was in Noah's day. But that doesn't mean we have to be like the people in Noah's day. We can be like Noah. We can do everything we can to do what's right. The Lord has been so good to us. How can we do anything less than be good back to Him?